Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Revelation 22. While you're turning there, in Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain before there was time, before there were people, before there was an earth. The Lamb was slain while Lucifer was still Lucifer. The Lamb was slain in eternity past. And only the manifestation of it took place 2,000 years ago. But the truth of it took place before the world began. And so when God created us, He created us to fellowship at a tree of life, because the Lamb has already slain. Albeit Adam was formed perfect, he was formed lower than the angels. And if he was lower than the angels, that meant that he was susceptible to something. And certainly if the angels themselves were susceptible, as was illustrated by Lucifer in the fall of one third of all of heaven, then certainly man was susceptible also. But the Lamb was already slain. So man's susceptibility in the economy of grace was not a problem. And although it can separate man from God, it will not separate God from man. And although there will be those who perish for eternity in the lake of fire, it was not by God's choosing, but by their own. It wasn't the judgment of God that sent them into hell. It was a rejection of the judgment of God. Revelation 22 and verse 1 says, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. You see, the thing about the tree of life was the fact that they bore 12 manner of fruits. 12 is talking about Israel, 12 is talking about the church. So what we're dealing with is those who have been chosen by God. The tree of life, the fruit of the tree of life is being chosen by God. This is why believers in the Morning Star order of Revelation 2 and 3 are going to eat at the tree of life. How does the tree of life enter? It enters by the Lamb being slain. You see, the thing about the cross is not only was it from the foundation of the world, but in eternity past, when the cross was given, the tree of life came into existence. You see, who is it that eats at the tree of life? It is not God and it is not the angels. It's the chosen. So we will eat at the tree of life if we are overcomers. Not everyone who is in heaven eats of the tree of life, but the Morning Star order does. And the Morning Star Order consists of those who have been chosen by God. The cross was the tree of life. What was the cross? When the Word of God said, "Cursed is he that hangs on a tree." You see, we don't think of it often, but the Savior hung from a tree. He didn't hang from the tree of knowledge. He hung from the tree of life. And this is why the cross gives us life. And this is why the cross is our life. Because the cross is the tree of life. So you showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. He showed me pure word of God. That's what the river of life is. The river of the water of life is the flow of the word of God through the initiation of the Holy Spirit. And whenever there is a flow of the Word of God in the initiation of the Holy Spirit, there's purity. And the only place to find it is where it's proceeding from the throne and from the Lamb. You see, guys, this is why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, "You didn't receive the words as the words of man, but as they in fact actually are, the words of God." Because they're words that proceed from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And they are a river of life to the soul that receives it. Didn't Jesus say that He is the life? The thoughts of God and the Word of God, resident and alive in the heart of a man, produce life. We are to eat at the tree of life. And the only way for us to eat at the tree of life is to have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ will take us out of self-orientation into a God-oriented cross where I'm not the one who's alive, but Christ who is in me lives. And you see, when that happens, then I've entered into something that is completely eternal. It's not temporal at all. It was established in eternity, it was carried out in eternity, and its results encompass all of eternity. What didn't Lucifer have? Lucifer didn't have the tree of life. Lucifer had the Word of God, he was its keeper. Lucifer had fellowship with God, he was the number four man in heaven. He was in succession, if you will, in order of importance, he was right behind the Father, Son, and Spirit. But he didn't have a cross, an angelic cross, if you will. Not for the forgiveness of sins, but for the impartation of life understanding that brings the life of God into the angelic realm. He lost that when he turned to himself. The other angels who did not fall kept it. I believe what they said to the trafficking of Ezekiel 28:18 was, "The Lord rebuke you." And the other angels kept what they had from God because they had a tree of life, because they had the mind of Christ. They had the mind of Christ because they were taught angelic doctrine. And although Christ is the Savior of man, but He is God for the angels also. So what we need to eat at is the tree of life, because the tree of life is the eternal cross. when the cross is effective in somebody's life, it takes that person from the temporal into the eternal. This is why it says in Galatians 5:24 that I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live. But not I, but Christ who lives in me. It's not me that lives. It's me that died. It's Christ who lives. And only when I understand what it means to have Christ alive in me will I understand what it means to have eternal life. Only when I understand what it means to have Christ in me will I understand what it means that I am without beginning or end. Only then will I understand what it means to be pure in an experiential sort of a way. Not through the energy of my flesh, where I simply through an ascetic exercise deprive myself of my lust patterns. But because the life of God replaces the initiation and the lure of the lust patterns with the irresistible grace of God. And the grace of God is better. Only when I realize that I'm loved by one who gave himself for me, only then can I get victory over sin in something that's not a self-denial, but is a replacement of the life of God. But God gives me His life in exchange for mine, and I get beauty for ashes. You see, this is what the tree of life is all about. The tree of life is the cross of Christ producing the life of God in a man. So when this Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, that was the greatest promise ever given. That man would possess the life of God. Can you imagine that? That man would possess the life of God. The one who is eternal, the one who is all-powerful, the one who is all-understanding, the one who created the heavens and the earth and breathed into all that is alive His breath of life. Man possesses the life of God. That comes only through the tree of life. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit. My life is the fruit of the tree of life. And only so long as I'm near the river will that be the case. See, the tree of life was nowhere else to be found. God planted a tree of life in the garden so that man could enjoy the life of God. But God also knew that that one tree of life would not last long. Because that one tree of life was planted in time, and it could not survive for very long in time. See, the tree of life is not meant to keep me in time. The tree of life is meant to bring me into eternity. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. You see, the tree of life is that which gets me out of the curse. We live in a fallen nature if we do not live in the cross. And the fallen nature reigns over us if the cross does not reign over us. My only hope for freedom is the cross. Because I am a fallen man and my fall has been condemned by God. and I've been separated by my own decisions. And that's what took me away from the tree of life. So God, when He put that tree of life in the garden, He knew very well it wouldn't last long. Maybe that's why He only put one there. I don't know. But the tree of life is no longer on earth. It was in the garden for a season, but now it's gone. And it was replaced with Calvary's tree. But it had to be replaced with Calvary's tree. Because you see, a tree that you eat from is not the same thing. Calvary's tree is a tree that makes you alive. That is, in fact, the true tree of life. So the tree of life that was in the garden was simply a type of the cross. For so long as Adam and Eve were feeding at the cross, they had no self-occupation, they had no self-consciousness, they had no self-orientation, they had no sin, they had no desire for sin. So long as they were at the cross. The tree of life is the cross. So as long as there was a tree of life, they were dead to themselves. But being dead to themselves, they were alive unto God. But as soon as they separated themselves from the tree of life and went to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree whereby you assess that which is right or wrong or good or evil by the hearing of the ears or the seeing of the eyes, by natural thinking and natural reasoning, that tree which takes you away from pure faith, unadulterated, not asking how or why, but simply asking, where is God? That faith is what keeps me at the tree of life. And if I go to the tree of knowledge, that faith goes away. This is why the just live by faith. Where does their justice come from? Their justice in a practical sense, in an experiential sense, comes from the tree of life. It comes from the fact that they are feeding at the cross. That cross is everything. That cross is everything. People sometimes don't revere the cross. Sometimes we take it as a burden in a very religious mindset. Sometimes we take it as an ascetic trip. But it's none of those things. The cross that leads unto life, that's the tree of life. The cross was not there to kill me. I died with Christ. The cross was there to bring me to a point of resurrection. I died in trespasses and sins. Isn't that what the apostle said? I died in trespasses and sins. And so I had to die with Christ. If I did not die on the cross of Christ, I would be alive in trespasses and sins. You see, I would live unto my own death. Wouldn't that be horribly devastating? Think about it. Wouldn't that be horribly devastating for a man who lives forever? Because we do live forever. Doesn't matter what you do to the shell. But for a man who lives forever to be alive unto his own death, Isn't that the definition of hell? See, the cross, it was what takes me from that experience to the experience of life of God. And so long as a believer lives in a self-oriented frame of reference, his orientation is death. And there is going to be no other experience for that believer, no matter how religious that believer may want to be. See, in the tree of life, in the place of the tree of life, there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. So when the tree of life gives me the life of God through a self-crucified and a life of God resident in a believer, when that takes place, the throne of God and of the Lamb are in the believer in a practical and experiential sort of a way. See, when the tree of life is really functioning in the believer's life, then self has no place because self is dead. When the tree of life is functioning in the believer's life, there's a throne in the believer's heart. And that's the throne of God. See, why do you think that God said in His Word that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in us, in our physical body? Well, if the fullness of the Godhead dwells in my physical body, then the throne of God is inside of each individual believer. And the throne of God is exactly how the government of grace is manifested in the believer's life. That there's a throne, there's an authority, there's a rule, if you will. I don't mean like a law rule, I mean like a rule, like an order in that believer's life. There's a precept that's alive, that governs and that reigns over the believer's thoughts. Not to check them, but to indwell them. My thoughts are not checked by the Word. My thoughts are the Word. There's a big difference. If I'm living a life where my thoughts are checked by the Word, I'm living in a religious production. But if I'm living a life where my thoughts are the Word, then I'm living a life where the mind of Christ dwells in me. And if the mind of Christ dwells in me, then the throne of God is my frame of reference. And if the throne of God is my frame of reference, the natural, if you will, thing to do will be that which is of God. And I don't have to wonder what or how or why. It doesn't make any difference. Why? Because the throne of God is my frame of reference. It governs me. Do you see the importance of the tree of life? Do you see the importance of the cross? How many times do we dread the cross? If I dread the cross, I'm embracing death. Yet we believers do that over and over. We dread the cross and we embrace our own death. We embrace that which makes us miserable. We embrace that which makes us unstable in our minds, in our emotions, in our volition, in our identity. We embrace that which keeps us in bondage to the past. How many people out there, there's so many of them, live in some form of bondage to the past? Either through their own personal failures or through what somebody did something to them. How many 60-year-olds are there that lament what happened to them when they were 10? Why? No functional living tree of life in that area of their life. their identity is hooked up to something that is dead and gone. And so they are living in a dead identity. That's why they can't get any victory there. But the moment that the tree of life comes in, takes over their identity, then that which is dead and gone is in fact dead and gone. And it's not only gone to them, dead and gone to them, they are dead and gone to it. Isn't that what Paul said in Galatians? Right? 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." We don't think of it that way. We think, I am crucified unto the world. No, the world is crucified unto me. Worldliness, carnality, lust patterns, insecurity, emotional disturbances, mental wrong mental patterns, wrong thinking, all of it is dead to me. How many people try to resurrect Satan? Try to make him back into Lucifer. Try to put him back in heaven. But yet, isn't that what happens when the cross is not there? And I, as an eternal born-again believer, with an eternal soul indwelled by God, I give place to the devil? Isn't that what I am doing? I am saying, Satan, you are Lucifer again. And although I would not call you God, you are second to him. This is exactly what happens. It's exactly what happens. He is dead to us through the cross. But if there is no cross, then he's very much alive in an experiential sort of a way. "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Why in their foreheads? It's so easy. That's where the frontal lobe is. That's where you think. That's your intelligence. That's your analytical center. That's physically, biologically, where your frame of reference is located. It's in your forehead. And his character will be in your forehead. His character will be the foundation of your thinking. His character will be the foundation of all that you analyze and perceive. It takes a cross. You cannot get there apart from the tree of life. It takes the cross. The old man does not want to pick up the cross. The old man fights the cross. The old man hates the cross. Just as Satan hates the cross, so does the old sin nature. Because Satan is the father of the old sin nature. Just as God is the father of the spirit of man, whatsoever is born of the spirit is of the spirit, is spirit, right? Whatsoever is born of the spirit is spirit. In the very same way, what is born of Satan in man is old sin nature. So when I am living in my old sin nature, I am living in the character of my father. But my father here is not God. My father in the old sin nature is the fallen angel who has turned and rebelled against God. The tree of life is my only hope of victory over him. Because that is the only victory, the only door that God has ever offered for man to pass through to get victory over him. It had to be through death. Because we were already dead. He had to meet us where we are. And so it happened. I pick up the fact that I'm dead. And Christ becomes alive in me. Then I have the life of God instead of a dead self-life. How many people are plagued with themselves? Well, I'll tell you something. Self is one of the worst plagues there is. Self is brutal. This is why Paul said, "Who will deliver me from this body of death, from this corpse that's hanging on me?" Well, the Savior will. The Savior will. The cross does. And the cross is found on either side of the river of life that proceeds from the throne as the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and moves in a believer's heart. And then old sin nature is pushed aside and God's nature becomes alive. This is where we find that peace that passes understanding. This is where we find the joy that is in the presence of God. This is where we find the newness and the fullness of life. Because it's not in the self-life, it's in the life of God. But I can only find it at the tree of life. In John 7:38, the Word of God says, "He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Even out of his belly, even in his emotions, there will be rivers of living water flowing. Do you know the person who has healthy, vibrant, great emotions? That's the person who believes on the Savior. That's the person who embraces the tree of life by embracing the cross, and that cross becomes life in that believer. That's the person for whom to live is Christ. Why? Because their death was their gain. See, that's not just talking about going to heaven. In application, that's talking about I embrace the death that I had on the cross, and for me to live is the life of Christ. And that's an eternal life. That's a life with the character and nature and fullness and power and ability and hope of the life of God. For that believer, nothing is impossible. For that believer, they have a source. For that believer, there is a source of life that is endless, and they will never lose that source of life so long as they embrace the cross. Because it's the tree of life. In verse 39 there, he says, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which when they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, this is talking about a specific event at Pentecost, but there's an application here for the believer. The Spirit is not given when Jesus Christ is not glorified. The Spirit is quenched when Jesus Christ is not glorified. And only when the Savior is glorified, then the Spirit flows through the believer, and the only time that the Savior can be glorified is when the believer operates in faith. And when that believer operates in faith, that believer experiences in his emotions the rivers of living water on the sides of which were the tree of life. So to that believer, even their emotions become a tree of life. Why? Because their emotions are regulated by faith mixed with the Word of God in the Holy Spirit's initiation of their life, and it feels great. How many believers are there are so burdened with, I feel awful. I feel awful about my job. I feel awful about my family. I feel awful about my friends. I feel awful about my children. I feel awful about my parents. I feel awful about my spouse. I feel awful about everybody you can think of. I feel awful about my circumstances. You must like feeling awful a lot. You do it all the time. You want to stop feeling awful? Go to the tree of life. Go to the tree of life. Where is it written that God is glorified by your awful feeling? But God is glorified when His life is the experiential portion of the believer. Whosoever in John 4:14 drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Tree of life. Rivers of water from the throne of God and the Lamb, on the sides of which are the tree of life. Do you really want to know who's going to eat of the tree of life in heaven? The same ones who eat of the tree of life on earth. In truth, there is going to be very little difference in some respects in my experience on earth and my experience in heaven. Oh, there will be obvious differences. There is no sin, there is no Satan, there is no world system, there is no old sin nature. But the quality of the life of God in a believer who has the life of God, it's not one God for here and another one for there. It's the same God. It's the same Savior who came to the earth, who is now on the throne in heaven, that Stephen saw as he was being stoned, standing from that throne. It's the same Savior that Revelation describes with the white hair and the red garment dipped in blood and the Word of God written on his thigh, with the eyes of fire. It's the same Savior. The same one, Mary, she had washed his feet with her hair and her tears. The same one is the one that we will bow before when we see him. The same one. See, the thing about the life of God, the thing about the tree of life, this is the amazing thing about it. That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Do you understand what that means? It doesn't mean that he's repainted. It doesn't mean he's overhauled. It doesn't mean he's refurbished. It means he's different. He's new. Like, how many people would go to the car dealer to buy a new car and get a 10-year-old model that's just been tuned up? What would you say if the car dealer tried to sell you a 10-year-old car that he tuned up and maybe repaired stuff in the engine and said, this is a new car? I would say, no, it is not. You are a liar. But God cannot lie. Yet how many times do we believers think, well, if I simply refurbish the old, if I give it a religious paint job, right? If I give it an overhaul with the Word of God, just overhaul it with the Word of God, then I have what God has to offer. No, you do not. No, you do not. Then the best that you accomplish is a religious performance that still leaves you in the death of the old sin nature. Now, if any man be in Christ, he is brand spanking out of the factory new. He traded in the old model. In this case, it died. He doesn't own the old model anymore. How many people trade in their car for a new car? What do you think the dealer would say if you went back and wanted to drive the old one? So, well, you can buy it from me if you want. Well, that's why you bought the new car, isn't it? Yeah, how many believers do that? How many believers say, well, I'm new, but I want old? How many believers want to have a little bit of the old man around still? Because it tantalizes their emotions in the flesh as they're living in a deception through their volition against the Word of God and against the promises of God, against the will and the way of God. No, if any man be in Christ, he is new. He is not old. He is new. It's not a paint job. It's not a makeover. It's not a facelift. He is new. Completely new. This is why it's such a travesty. It is a scandal in heaven for believers to willingly live in sin when they are made new. Why? Because they are in Christ. They are in Christ. That means they are in eternity. That means they have no beginning and they have no end. Right? Isn't that what Ephesians tell us in 1:20? Which he wrought in Christ, right? He worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And then in Ephesians 2:6, and he has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. Not next to him, but in him. You see, isn't this a scandal? When a believer lives in self-orientation, where their soul cleaves to the dust of the earth, yet they are seated in heavenly places in God, what are they trying to put a hole in God? Isn't this what they are trying to do? They're trying to bust a hole in God. It's like trying to shoot him from the inside. They want to get back. They want to get back to their alcohol, or to their immorality, or to their television, or to the things of the world, to their pornography, or rock and roll music. It's not even music. Can't do that. Is Satan going to fall again? Lucifer back in heaven? But isn't this what we do sometimes? When we live apart from the cross, we try to put Lucifer back in heaven. He's not going back. God's not taking him. God said, it's done. It's done. The finished work, one of the elements of it, is the fact that Satan cannot return. Oh, the work is finished. It is finished for us, but you know what? It's finished for him also. And in that is our victory. It's a done deal. He's going in the pit. It's a done deal. He may be on earth now, but it's only for a short time, and he knows it. And he's going in the pit, and so are all the fallen angels. What are we doing? Fellowshipping with anything other than the tree of life? Are we trying to resurrect the enemy? Don't you get it? It's not about you! It's about the life of God. It's about the truth of God. It's about the will of God. It's about the ways of God. It's about God. And I got news for you. You're about God. And your life is not your own. It has been purchased by Him with blood. It's not about you. And the sooner that I, as a believer, accept the fact that it's not about me, the sooner the life of God is going to dwell in me and flourish in me. The sooner the provisions of God are going to be practical in my life. The sooner I will experience what it means to have eternal life, no past, no future apart from the Savior. Because I'll give you a newsflash. Apart from the Savior, there's no future anyway. The only future people have apart from a Savior is hell. May as well embrace the tree of life. Because that's where your hope lies. The cross is your provision. You get it? The cross is your provision. You want joy in your life? The cross is your provision. You want peace in your life? The cross is your provision. Get this, you want answered prayer in your life? The cross is your provision. You want fulfilled promises in your life? The cross is your provision. When did Abraham receive the promise? When did Israel receive the promise? When did David receive the promise? When the cross was real in their life. The manifestation and the experience of faith will not happen apart from the cross. There is no such thing as faith minus the cross. Why? Because the very source of my faith is through the cross. He didn't stay on the cross, He passed through. I don't stay on the cross, I pass through. The very hope that we have as believers is there. Yet how many cling to the dust? The dust is going away, folks. You can cling to it all you like, but the dust is going away. It may not go away today, and it may not go away tomorrow, but it will go away. The only thing that will not go away is the Word of God, the eternal God, and our eternal souls. But heaven and earth will pass away. So what are you clinging to that which is fleeting for? Let it go. It's your bondage. We get into bondage because we cling to that which is fleeting. It doesn't matter what we're clinging to. If it's not God, it's fleeting. It's not going to sustain. The tree of life sustained you. You see, on either side of the river in heaven, the river that flowed from the throne of God and the Lamb, on either side of the river, there is the tree of life. And it bears fruit. It bears fruit. The believer who lives at the tree of life is the one whose life bears fruit. That means that the believer who has the cross alive in their life is the believer who has the life of God bearing fruit in his life. That's the tree of life. But apart from the tree of life being alive in me, I have nothing but dead in trespasses and sins. In my experience. Apart from the cross of Christ being alive in me, I have nothing but the misery and the bondage of a fallen nature that has separated itself from God. So my only hope, your only hope also, is to embrace the cross and eat the fruit of the tree of life. Because the fruit of the tree of life is that which produces eternal life in me. It is that that allows me to experience what it means that I'm a new creation. Apart from that, I can never experience new creation. I can try for an overhaul. I can try for a new paint job. I can try to refurbish, but I won't have new creation. I'll simply have old creation juiced up again. To the tree of life. The tree of life. And if I eat the tree of life now, right? If I eat the tree of life now, try that again. If I eat the tree of life now, I'll be eating it for eternity. Amen?